One thing I just heard God say is a moment of truth is at hand. And you need to decide where you're going to stand when all is said and done. There's a whole lot going on out there in the world. Excuse me. And the body of Christ who has not, you know, come to grips with the fact that either they're saved or they're not saved. And this is something that God's saying that you have to do. Well, Father, I truly do thank you for those who came out in the house, Lord, this morning. I thank you, Father God, for their hearts that are wide open to receive all that you have for them. I thank you for your angelic host who are walking to and fro throughout these chairs, Father God, ministering to each and every need. I thank you, God, for your Holy Spirit power and authority. We thank you for your Son, Jesus, and his blood. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God spoke this. This is from God. Are you ready for what the future holds? Are you really ready for what the future holds? I'm hearing God say, aren't you tired of playing games with me? Aren't you tired of just fooling around under fringes of my word and not really, truly receiving all that my word has for you? You need to think about these things this morning. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15 said, this is Paul speaking, says, that is why I always remember you in my prayers. He's speaking to a church. And thank God for you. I have done this ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all of God's people. I always pray to the great and glorious Father, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that he will give you the Spirit who will let you know truths about God and help you understand them so that you will know him better. I pray that God will open your minds to see his truth. Then you will know the hope that he has chosen us to have. You will know that the blessings God has promised to his holy people are rich and glorious. And you will know that God's power is very great for us who believe. It is the same as the mighty power. It is the same as the mighty power he used to raise Christ from death and put him at his right side in the heavenly places. He put Christ over all rulers, authorities, powers, and kings. I want you to get this part. He put Christ over all rulers, authorities, powers, and kings. He gave him authority over everything that has power in this world or in the next world. God put everything under Christ's power and made him head over everything for the church. The church is Christ's body. It is filled with him. He makes everything complete in every way. So that's what God has done with Jesus. He's given him total and complete power and authority over all things. He held nothing back from Jesus. He gave him power and authority over all things. Now this is Jesus speaking. God speaking. My question for you is this. Are you truly ready for what the future holds for you? Now, let's just get all, you know, this dumb thinking you might get in your head as you read these first things that God's saying, all right? My question for you is this. Are you truly ready for what the future holds for you? The correct answer would be an astounding no. You are really not ready for what the future holds for you. You walk around as if you know all things and you have not comprehended the smallest thing around about you. There is so much coming in the near future that will totally and completely take you off your feet. You know, Sister Elaine was talking about, do you really know Jesus face to face? And I said to him during praise and worship, I do know you face to face. And I thought I knew your heart, but there evidently there's something about your heart I don't know. We have to know him face to face, and then we have to know him, his heart. The reason why I say this is because he's not answered some of my questions. And so there's something about his heart that I don't know. There's a reason why he's not answering these questions. So I know I have to work harder at knowing his heart. If we don't know the heart of God, we cannot minister for him correctly. All right? And we have to know him face to face, so first, then that's total commitment and love and intimacy with him. But then you have to know, as God told me one time, daughter, you have to know my heart. That's why I'm saying that. He told me, you have to know my heart. All right? God wanted to say, children, behold this day that, yes, it is reaping the harvest time, and it is total miracle working time. But you must also come to grips with the fact that the darkness will overcome you if you do not level yourselves out and become level-headed and well-rounded. The very minute I allow miracles to happen on your watch, you go off with a big head, and you think you have attained, and you open a crack for the enemy to come through. If you were totally humble, you would not be going around bragging about what you accomplished. Instead, you'd be giving me glory for what I used you to accomplish. Now, see, whenever Sister Elaine stands up here, and if you ever listen to her and tells about what happened on the street ministry, she always says, God showed up. God performed a miracle. She didn't say, this is what I did or this is what we did. She always says, God showed up. And that's not what God's talking about here. It's whenever you say, well, you should see what God did through me. Say, and this is where God said he doesn't want you to do that. And Luke 10:17 tells us, then the 70 returned. Jesus had sent out 70 disciples, all right? Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And Jesus said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. In other words, Jesus was saying there's nothing to him. You don't be so excited just because of that. And then Jesus goes on to say, behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. See that? And Mark 16:14 says, later, Jesus appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and Jesus rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes is, this is to the 11. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. In other words, the people you're talking to, if they believe and are saved, they would be baptized. But if they don't, they'll be condemned. And then Jesus says, and these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Now, this is what we're supposed to be doing. All right? So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they, which is the 11, went out and preached everywhere. The Lord, what they do first, they preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word, how? Through the accompanying signs. See, when you preach the word, then God will bring the signs, wonders, and miracles to back up his word. Now, God said, this is a total new dispensation of time, and you will see things that you have never seen before. And if you're not watchful, it will take you off course. And he said, which is pride. I want you so well-rounded that nothing, and I mean absolutely nothing, will take you off course. For you will know all things before they ever come to pass. This is a time that my servant Joel spoke about. Now, let's stop there. He said, I want you so well-rounded that nothing, and I mean absolutely nothing, will take you off course. For you will know all things before they ever come to pass. God spoke to me early on when he called me into the ministry. He said, my people are lopsided. They are not well-rounded. They get a word and they run with that one word. And they don't know everything about that one word. So what God's always been trying to do with the body of Christ is to get us well-rounded. We should know everything about all things. Just not, Kenneth Hagin, he taught about faith. And then somebody else, taught about healing. And this was all they centered on. They just centered on that. And that's fine. That's where God had them. But what God is wanting the body of Christ to do now is be well-rounded. You talk about faith. You talk about healing. You talk about deliverance. You talk about all things and be well-rounded. So when you encounter the world that's going to come into the house of God, you will have answers to their questions. If you don't have an answer to a question, say, I don't know that answer, but I'll get it for you. Don't stand there and just try to make up something. Say, I've done this many times. I really don't know, but I will seek God's face or I will look in the Word. I will get you the answer and I'll get back with you. And that's what I do. So don't stand there and try to make them believe you know everything when there's something you haven't yet run into. All right? God goes on to say, the words that my former prophets of old spoke about are coming on the scene in this dispensation of time. So think it not a strange thing when I say old things are passed away and everything is becoming brand new. Now, John 13:19 says, Jesus said, I am telling you this now before it takes place, that when it does take place, you may believe that I am he. So what God is saying here, what he said before, is he's going to start telling you things are going to happen before they ever happen. So that whenever they do happen, you can say, God told me that. And here it is, all right? Then Isaiah 42:9 says, in the past I told you what would happen, and it happened. Now I'm telling you something new, and I'm telling you now before it happens. We are in a brand new dispensation of time. Brand new things are going to be happening. It's going to be things that we've never seen or heard of before. And we're going to have to be secure in God. And we're going to have to be hearing his voice so that we won't get thrown off course. God went on to say, if ever there was a time to pay attention and get prepared, it is now. For if you don't get prepared and pay attention, the enemy will surely come rushing into your lives and take you over with doubt, unbelief, and confusion with what's coming down, what God's bringing. The enemy is a mastermind of these dark things. He goes unhindered in his dark walk in your mind unless you make him leave. Read that again. For if you don't get prepared and pay attention, the enemy will surely come rushing into your lives and take you over with doubt, unbelief, and confusion. The enemy is a mastermind of these dark things. He goes unhindered in his dark walk in your mind unless you make him leave. In other words, don't let him bring thoughts into your mind. Make him leave. Don't let him linger there. I'll tell you what I've been going through for 2 months. Is God really God? Is he really real? Did he really create the earth? They're seeing, they're finding bones billions of years old. And I know the creation has always been, and the earth has always been recreated more than one time. And the enemy just, for about 2 months, kept bombarding me with that. And I had to rebuke that because I know that my God liveth. I know that Jesus Christ is real. I know there's a heaven, and I know there's a hell. And, when I was researching for what God wants me to teach tonight, I couldn't believe how many new pastors are out there saying there is no hell. And they're saying that we are taking the scriptures and twisting them, that there really is not a hell. I was flabber. In fact, I quit studying for a while. I thought, I cannot believe that that's what's going on out there right now. I've been to hell and I know there's a hell. Believe me, I do. God took me down there so I could see what was happening. And I have never been to heaven, but I know there's a heaven. And there's angels, and I know there's Jesus. I know there's God. I know that Satan was kicked out of heaven. Come on. But see how, the devil will do that to you. He will bring thoughts into your mind, and you cannot entertain those thoughts. I even said, where's this coming from? And I rebuked and rebuked and rebuked, and I had to sing. I had to do everything to get those thoughts out of my mind. I really believe what I was doing was picking up what somebody else was thinking. I really do, because I do that a lot. But I had to keep rebuking it, excuse me, so it wouldn't settle in my mind. Doesn't matter where it came from. All right, then God went on to say, you have all the power and authority you need to make him leave your mind, will, and emotions. You need not tolerate anything he throws your way. And I don't know about you, but I've been tolerating some things he's thrown my way. I really have, you know, in the last year. I really have. And I've repented for that. And I thought, how dumb can I possibly get and still breathe? You know, because I know better. And we do know better. But he catches us at times where we're just so bombarded with other things. And he throws that thing in there. Next thing you know, you're fighting the devil like you don't think there's a tomorrow. And God said, you need to always know with all surety of heart that I have your back and my angelic army is forever on the move fighting your battles for you. Your only concern at this given dispensation of time is what I am calling you for to do. And as you do my bidding, I will be fighting your battles for you. He said, your only concern at this given dispensation of time is what I'm calling you for to do. And as you do my bidding, I will be fighting your battles for you. God said, you cannot be listening to my voice of instruction and the voice of the enemy at the same time. For you can only obey one voice at a time. And the voice you should be obeying is your Father's in heaven. God said, this is total resurrection time. This is the moment and the hour for all things to come into fruition that I have spoken over your lives and over this nation. This is a time when my mighty army needs to be going forth into battle and not lingering behind. Remember what God said. Remember what happened to David when he did not go into battle and stayed behind. He sinned and lost his child. And 2 Samuel, I looked it up, 2 Samuel 11, 1 says, in the spring when kings go out to war, David sent Joab, his officers, and all the Israelites out to destroy the Ammonites. And Joab's army surrounded their capital city, Raba. David stayed in Jerusalem. He should have been out there fighting. One evening, David got up from his bed and walked around the roof of his house. From there, he saw a woman bathing, and she was very beautiful. So David sent for his officers and asked them who she was. An officer answered, that is Bathsheba, daughter of Eliam. She is the wife of Uriah the Hittite. Now Uriah was one of David's men. David sent messengers to go and bring Bathsheba to him. She had just purified herself after her monthly time of bleeding. She went to David. He had sexual relationship with her, and then she went back to her house. And later Bathsheba became pregnant. She sent word to him saying, I am pregnant. If he had been out to battle, he would have not been peeking Tom, watching her take a bath, all this wouldn't have happened. And then 2 Samuel 12:14 said, this is where the prophet was speaking to David. He said, but you did things that made the Lord's enemies lose their respect for him, so your new baby son will die. Because David did wrong and disgraced God, God said, I'm going to take your baby. And Matthew 28:18 says, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. I want to read that again, because you need to understand this. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of the nations. We're supposed to be making disciples with the other people, just not whenever you're anointed, you're not supposed to hug it to yourself. You're supposed to take that anointing and disciple somebody else and then send them forth to minister the gospel also. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So people say you shouldn't baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit right there. Jesus said that's how you should do it, right? Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. God said, well, you should teach them what God taught you. Not what some other person taught you, but what Jesus taught you, that's what you're supposed to teach to the people. Jesus has given this very same power and authority to every believer. That I'm speaking that. Jesus has given this very same power and authority to every believer. If we are to defeat the enemy in this end time dispensation, we must live in that power and authority. We have to learn to live in that power and authority. And Matthew 16:18 says, Jesus speaking, and I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. He told Peter, I'm going to give the church. He said he's going to build his church on the rock Jesus, right? And I'm going to give the church the keys. Isn't that what he just said? And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Jesus was going to build his church. The church was going to advance. And the gates of Hades could not withstand it. That was a given. It was just going to happen. Jesus is saying that he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. We say that, we sing that, but we sure don't walk like we believe that. Amen? His power is greater than the power of the enemy. When there is a head-on conflict between the power of the enemy and the power of God, the power of the enemy will lose every time. And God's question to us was, are you truly ready for what the future holds for you? The only way we can be ready for what the future holds for us is by walking in all the power and authority Jesus gave to us. See, I'm going through some things with God right now. I'm doing everything God's told me to do. I think I'm using all the power and authority that God has given me, but I'm still not seeing some answers to prayer. And that really bothers me. God and I are having I'm having a one-sided conversation with God. I'm asking all the questions and I'm not getting any answers, but I'm going to keep bombarding heaven until I get the answer because he said, are you truly ready for what the future holds for you? In other words, are you ready for the things that nobody's ever seen? Are you ready to walk into the unknown? This is what he's asking us. Do you really have everything it takes to go into the unknown and defeat the unknown? All right? The only way we can be ready for what the future holds for us is by walking in all the power and authority Jesus gave to us. You see, how can I walk in this power and authority? Why do you think God invited us to live in the third heaven? Remember he did that to us? It was so we could walk in this power and authority that Jesus gave us. Some thought I was goony and did not go into the third heaven. And that's why you're having such battles in your life. You're still down here in this earthly realm, and you have not stepped into the third heaven. God told me that, all right? If we are not abiding in the third heaven, we will not be able to use all the power and authority given to us as believers, because the enemy is going to fight us at every turn. And if you're abiding in the third heaven, you're going to be secure in who you are in Christ. And you're going to use all the power and authority that God has given you. And I'm hearing God say this right now. He said, daughter, you have to understand that there is a resurrection power and authority that I give to my people. And I haven't yet dropped, this is my answer to my question, I haven't yet dropped that resurrection power and authority in all of its fullness. But I am going to give my people all that resurrection power and authority, and then they will be able to go forth, and then they will be able to do what I'm asking them to do in the fullness of time. Thank you, Jesus. All right, we know that the world we live in has two realms, the natural and the spiritual. We need to be able to know how to live in this spiritual realm in a way that affects the natural realm. You know, this. I see, if you've never walked where I've walked, you don't understand why I'm so upset. But you and I know what it is. I knew what it was for, 25 years to walk in the power of God and anointing of God. And no matter where I went, you know, God was doing miracles and wonderful things. And I could feel him in the room. You know, the whole room was filled with his glory. And now to walk where I'm walking now is not good for me. You know, once you've tasted the goodness of God, you won't settle for anything else. And I was just thinking, you know, I prayed a lot this weekend about this stuff because I'm at a place, I guess I'm between a rock and a hard place, and there's some things that God needs to show me so I can reveal it to the church. And I said, God, I can remember whenever I would walk, you know, even into my house and I could feel the glory hit me. But you know, but that's not there anymore. And I knew exactly when it started dwindling away. And maybe some of you know that too. Your house was full of the glory of God. But because sin kept creeping in, I wasn't sinning, but other people came in with sin in their lives. And because they kept sinning and sinning and sinning, the glory left. You understand that? You guys that live alone, you should be praising God, shouting hallelujah till you're blue in the face. Because you are the glory carrier. Nobody's coming in there, you know, combating you. But you're just carrying the glory, and your house is full of the glory of God. People used to come to my house and just sit because the glory was there. Now they think, what's going on here? You know, and I say, I know what's going on there. Sin, 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 sin. And it's messing up the glory. I've lost my place now. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. I know that some of you will have become proud, thinking that I am afraid to come to deal with you. This is Paul speaking to the church. Look what he says. But I will come, and soon, if the Lord will let me. And then I'll find out whether these proud men are just big talkers or whether they really have God's power. The kingdom of God is not just talking. It is living by God's power. I mean, these were people, from what I studied, these were people going around, you know, they had charisma. But they were not walking in God's power. All right? And Paul said, I'm going to come and find out what you're all about. Paul says in these verses that he is coming to Corinth to see the teachers that are there, and he is not coming to hear their words, but he is coming to see the power in their lives. You can speak 10 million words and not face anybody, but you walk in the room with the power of God in you, and you can change every life in that room. And this is where God's trying to take us to. For the kingdom of God is not words, but it is power. And then God said, my children, you must walk in the power given to you at all times. This dispensation of time is exactly that. Miracle working power, power to raise the dead, power to see the kingdom of darkness tumble, power to walk on water. And with this power, there is nothing impossible for you. Read that again. My children, you must walk in the power given to you at all times. This dispensation of time is exactly that. Miracle working power. Power to raise the dead, power to see the kingdom of darkness tumble, power to walk on water. With this power, there is nothing impossible for you. Then he says, it is impossible time, little ones. It is time to make all things impossible possible through the power given to you through Christ Jesus, my one and only Son. And God said, the entire world is waiting for you to grasp hold of this reality today, this reality of the unseen realm. And this is what God wants us to be ready for, to walk into the unseen, unknown realm, a realm that we've never been into before. And I know that's my problem. I'm walking into that, but I want God to explain some things to me, and he's not doing it. And some of you in here might be going through the same battles that I'm going through. You're wanting God to say something, but he's not saying anything. And I really believe he's testing our faith and our obedience, to see if we're just going to walk in the unknown, and if we're just going to go ahead and obey everything he says, without, just like when he did Abraham, you're going to move. Where? I don't know, but you're going to move. Pack your bag, wife, and we're going to move. And then God is saying, walk. Just walk. Don't ask me where you're going to walk to. Just walk and keep your eyes on me. Amos 9:12 said, this is what the Lord said, and he will make it happen. The Lord says a time of great blessing is coming. Workers will still be harvesting when it is time to plow the fields again. They will still be trampling the grapes when it is time for a new crop. Sweet wine will drip from the mountains and pour from the hills. And what God is saying here is that you're not even going to get the first batch of souls saved, and he's going to have another batch there. You know, this type of thing, you know. And, you know, with Elaine in their street ministry, you're not even going to get this tent set up right, till you're going to have to set another tent up, because of this tent, it's not going to hold all the loss. Do you understand what he's saying there? This time, as we have known it, is over. These are different times now. God said his time frames are totally, completely different than anything you've ever walked through. And he's saying, don't be looking back. Thinking that you can do what you used to do and it'd be all right. If we can't do what we used to do, this is a brand new thing. And I said, you and I have entered into a sliver of time, a little narrow band of time, which is the biggest and perhaps the most important block of time since the creation of Adam. And God said that we have just a small space of time to do. Remember, he said we don't have much time to do what he wants accomplished. Now, we have stepped over in the spiritual realm and the natural into exceeding abundantly above all things that we can ask or think. That should be think. And that's in Ephesians 3:20. We have stepped over into the spiritual realm and the natural. We are supposed to bring the spiritual down to the natural. Do you understand that? We're all expecting the angels to do it and Jesus to do it, you know, or whoever to do it. It's you and I. We're supposed to be abiding in the third heaven, and we're supposed to be bringing all that anointing down to the natural so that that anointing can change the natural into the spiritual. Does that make sense to you? All right. John 6:5 records the event where Jesus took the basket of 5 loaves and 2 fish and fed thousands of people. The disciples told Jesus there was a boy here with some bread and a couple of fish. Jesus asked for the food, and they got it for him. He took it, looked toward heaven, gave thanks for it, blessed it, broke it, and distributed it among his disciples. What did he do? He took it. Jesus took it, looked to heaven, all right, gave thanks for it, blessed it, broke it, and distributed it among his disciples. They, in turn, took the food and distributed it among the people, and they distributed it and distributed it to approximately 20,000 people. This is one fish and one piece of bread. Then they went back and picked up all the leftovers, the overflow, and there was 12 baskets full. God's told us we're walking the overflow, right? Now, if there was ever a picture of exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, this is it, right? Little one piece of bread and one little fish fed how many people? 2,000, 20,000 people. Then there was leftovers. This is what's going to happen in our lives. This is how God's going to increase what we do. He's going to increase it. There were thousands of people eating until they were full and 12 baskets filled with leftovers. Today, people say, what a wonderful miracle. And they're right. It was a miracle. He did that twice from what I read in my word. The growing time for the seed the little boy planted in Jesus' ministry was instant. See that? He planted his dinner and it multiplied instantly. This is where we are at today. The instant we speak, things will happen. We will be walking in the abundant overflow of the power and authority of Jesus, and all things will bow. Notice the scripture said Jesus took the bread and looked to heaven. This is where the body is lacking, is what God told me. We don't keep looking to heaven for God's abundant blessing. We look around about us. Christ has given every follower his power and authority to defeat Satan and all evil spirits. Christ has given every believer, every follower, his power and authority to defeat Satan and all evil spirits. You can be a walking open heavens, releasing God's glory everywhere you go. At one time I was there. I'm not there now, but I can't wait till God does it again. I'm going to tell you guys, when you get there, you just won't be able to, you won't understand how you ever lived before. You just won't. God is releasing glory carriers, and I believe everybody here this morning is going to be a glory carrier. Now is the time to release his presence and power everywhere you go. Are you ready to walk in the abundant power and authority that God wants to release into you? You know, Elaine, I keep thinking about you know, you guys' street ministry. And you know, and my heart's cry is always, God, just yank them drugs out of them people. And want to be wonderful whenever you're the glory carrier. And you, I just got the Holy Spirit all over me. And you just walk on the street, put your foot out of your car onto the street, and the glory hits that street, and everybody standing on that sidewalk is going to go out in the Spirit and come up totally and completely well. That's what I'm believing God is going to do. And then they're going to go and tell others, just like they did in the day of Pentecost, you know, in the upper room, you know. And they're going to go tell other people, and this is how come you're going to need more than one tent. And it's just going to spread all over the place, go down to the street. There's miracles going on there. You go to this church, there's miracles going on there. I was reading where there's a church somewhere, I forgot where, it's in America. But they've been having everyday revival for 10, 15 years. And I sit and cried. I said, God, I can remember we had everyday revival for over 25 years. And I so long for that again. And you haven't killed me yet, so And you say, I'm in a new dispensation of time. I just don't want to sit. I want to see the glory again. I want to see the miracle working power work through all the people. You know, Catherine Kuhlman died because she was jealous because God gave her anointing, gave somebody else the same anointing she had. And she got mad at God and she had a heart attack and died. And see, we can't do that. We have to thank God that he's anointing other people, because none of us is going to reach everybody. It's going to take everybody to reach everybody. There's too many lost people in the world, from what God's been telling me, that need Jesus for 1 or 10 people to cover all that ground. And everybody that goes out there is not going to be anointed. You have to understand that too. And I know the Bible says every believer can do these things. But guys, I also know that God has to give you a special anointing too, to do some special works. And what did he call it? Resurrection power anointing. And you know, when I hear, somebody that's really anointed of God, you can do this thing, you can do this, you don't have enough faith, I think, why don't you just be quiet? Because that is not true. God anoints, gives some people special anointings to do special things. But everybody's anointing to do everything that God said you can do. But there's some people that carry an extra special anointing. And it has to be the resurrection power anointing he talked about. All right? So, you know, you don't go around and don't discourage anybody. Because, you know, all you have to do is be like a little kid and just go out there and do. Right? And just you know, when I read the word after I was born again, realized I could speak to God and he wanted me to do signs, raise the dead. I just went out and did that kind of stuff because my word told me to. But then I had to realize too, God anointed me for that from my mother's womb. I had that special anointing from my mother's womb. Some of you in here tonight, you've had the very same anointing from your mother's womb this morning. And you know, now's the time when God wants to bring you forth and to use that special anointing to go forth and do great mighty signs and miracles for the Father. You might think, well, I've been sitting here and I've been wasting my time, but that's not true. I said, God, why did you wait till I was 50 to call me into the ministry? I said, I could have done this. Look at all them years I wasted. He said, no, there was never any wasted years. He said, I was training you all this time. And I look back, and he really treated us. If he hadn't waited until I was 50, I'd have probably been not here today. You know what I'm saying? I wouldn't have been preaching the gospel. But he taught me a whole lot of stuff in those years when I wasn't. So it hasn't been wasted time. But from this time on, it'll be wasted time. Because now is a dispensation. I'm just hearing from God. Now is a dispensation time when I'm calling you forward to do the mighty works that I have already ordained you to do. So if you don't start when God tells you to, then you will miss your appointed time. And I have to say this, you know, we have some really anointed, strong people in this church. And this is why you guys butt heads every now and then, because you're strong. And God sends the strong people in here to tame them down so he can use them to minister to just other strong-willed people. So don't be upset with your brother or your sister. You know, because I sit back sometime, watch, I think, God, when are you going to quit, like two roosters fighting, you know? And when are you going to get this straightened out? He said, you just be still. I'm working on it. So, you know, you have to know when if you're here, you're a strong-willed person. And this is why God has called you, so he can, because he knows you won't back down. You're not going to quit. You're just going to keep going forward and going forward and going forward. And you're going to win many, many, many people to Christ. And you watch how God's going to give you ministries, and they're just going to blossom overnight. Why? Because you have it in you. God placed it in you in your mother's womb. So each one of you look at your life and see what you're gifted to do. And then just don't worry about anybody else. You just go forth and do what God's calling you forth to do. Let him use your personality. Let him use your anointing. And you just get out there and you do the things God's calling you forth to do. He said, are you ready? Are you ready for what the future holds? Each one of you need to ask yourself this morning, am I really ready to walk into the unknown? I'm hearing you say, am I ready to walk into persecution? Am I ready to walk into conflict? These are all the things. You know, I live this stuff, and that's why I can preach it. And, you know, it's hard. It's really hard sometimes. You know, he says, love the unlovable. Sometimes you go into a room and you want to bang your head against a wall and say, God, more grace, more grace. Have you ever do that? Just more grace, Lord, more grace. And the more the world, when God sends you to the world, they're messed up. I see them every day. They're messed up, don't you, Elaine? And you're going to need grace. Believe me, you're going to cry out. Even when you're standing in front of them, God, give me grace to yourself. Give me grace. Instead of me wanting to slap their face, let me put my arms around about them. I love them. You know, and you'll come to them points. There are times in your life you want to just sock them real good and say, why don't you get your head together? But, you know, what you do is you raise your hand, you put it up there, and you wrap your arms around them and love them. So don't say you won't have your emotions and your feelings. You will. But the God in you is stronger than your emotions or your feelings. Instead of socking them a good one, you'll just put your arms around about them and love them. Amen. And I'm working with somebody that I said, God, you know, I'm ready to wipe my hands up. And do you know that God put Dr. Phil talked about this personality this person has. And I had to sit and cry because I said, God, I didn't understand. He said, I know that's why I wanted you to watch us today. And now I can deal with this person in a different way because now I know really what's going on in their life. Even though God told me I was just thick-headed to really understand the whole thing. But when it was all laid out on the table, then I understood everything. So guys, if there's sometimes, you know, you just don't understand people, don't beat yourself up over it. God will reveal what that person's all about. He really will. And you'll be able to love them like you've never loved anything in your life. And but God's saying to me right now, he wants each one to take control of your life and get yourself ready to walk into the unknown. And by control, he means quit being scatterbrained, going here and there and everywhere, just your thoughts going here and there and everywhere. Get yourself well-rounded and get yourself prepared to go out there and minister to other people. So you see, this is how God works. You know, this is just how he works. Tells you what he's going to do with you, and he gives you time to go ahead and get things together. Well, Father, I just thank you for your word this morning, and I thank you for this people came out. I thank you, Father God, that when your daughter blew the shofar, she blew that mess out of the atmosphere. I thank you for the anointing in her breath, Father God, as she blows. And Father, I just give you all praise, honor, and glory this morning. And Father God, your word says, touch not my anointed. And Father God, everybody in this room is anointed from on high. And I just place every one of your children in your hands right now, Father, in a more secure, safe way. Take them to the deeper depths of your heart. Let them understand exactly what you're calling them to do so they can fulfill your prophetic word over them. And Father, I thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, amen.